Este podcast é patrocinado por Solverde.pt. São muitos anos.
Agora com uma nova identidade, o time que conhecemos como Sauber e que foi Alfa Romeo nos últimos anos chama-se agora Steak. Outra das alterações, bem mais importante do que o nome, é a presença de James Key como diretor técnico da equipa suíça. Estamos aqui com ele para saber o que mudou desde que ele saiu da Sauber há quase 12 anos e o que são as perspectivas da equipa para esta temporada. James, in a way, welcome back to a place you know well. How different is it, the team, from the time you were with Sauber? And how much, unfortunately, is still more or less the same, and Audi needs to invest in which areas to bring it up to the level of the teams you were working with before?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was there 12 years ago, of course, for a couple of years, and I'm delighted to be back, actually. It does feel very familiar still. Of course, many things have changed. There's a lot more people involved now, so even though Sauber's a small team, it's still 600 or so people, which is a big company, so there's that to get used to, but many familiar faces as well. There are things which are different, but things which are very familiar and haven't moved much. So, of course, there's some work to do to invest, as you say, and improve the infrastructure and the manpower levels and so on. But I think the foundation is very, very solid. It's a great team. There's a lot of experience there, as well as a lot of young talent as well. And it's a great place. It's a great starting point. I don't think that anything needs to be changed on the starting point. It's really building on what we've got.
Hardware, software, personnel. In which areas do you think an investment is urgent?
Well, it's a dangerous question to ask an engineer because obviously we'll take as much as we can get. But what we do is expensive. I think there's some. If you take software, for example. And it's typical across the team if you take this as the example to use. But the new tools we have are outstanding. I think the software group we have is excellent, and the quality and the functionality of the software tools we write in-house are very strong. The issue, I guess, we have is that we have a long list, and you know you've got a personnel restriction there, I suppose, and the number of people that we can bring into that group to work on it. So in that respect, it's manpower. But it also means that some software tools are very old-fashioned. In fact, some are what we were using when I was at Sauber before, which is quite some time ago, so they need replacing. So it's a real mix of things, really. I think the current ownership has done a brilliant job of allowing the team not just to sort of continue, but also grow. And there's been investment there as well. So we're not miles and miles behind by any stretch, but to go to the front, which is where we want to be, of course, there's a huge amount of legacy investment that teams have done who are there now, even before the cost cap in particular, where we've got a bit of catching up to do. So I would say a bit in all areas, to be honest with you, but the things we can do anyway are at a very high standard.
James, you obviously arrived here beginning of September. The baseline for this car had already been decided by the previous technical director and the rest of the team. What have you found? What surprised you in a positive way? And in which areas were you still able to make them make some changes to go in the direction you believe is the right one for the current generation of cars?
So I think the team had made some brave decisions with some of the directions. You know, the pull rod on the front suspension was a good example of that. You know, it's something I'm familiar with in this generation of cars, but it's a difficult project to do. But absolutely the right one. It's very much an aerodynamic reason you do that, certainly not a mechanical one. So that was good. The platform that I saw when I turned up, I was impressed by. You know, there was some really, really good work on packaging the car, on making it very tidy, on leaving lots of scope and possibilities for aero surfaces and so on. So that was a big positive for me. The process, the way the Sauber works, I'm of course familiar with. You know, it's exactly the same as it was years ago in terms of how you develop the architecture of a car. And that process, I think, is very strong. And I saw definite evidence of that when I arrived. In terms of things to do, I mean, there's definitely a few things missing off the car, in my view, that we're looking at now in design and I hope to introduce later in the year. There were certain areas where I thought we'd done a decent job, but there's more to come from them. So where I could, I influenced them. But, of course, time was a bit tight for some of it. I think the biggest thing really was setting out what the nature of our performance should be, you know, with colleagues in the vehicle performance group, in the aero department, of course in design, and even beyond technical as well, in terms of the operational side of the team and how we need to try and push our development through the system. And we made some real progress there. So, you know, I've been with the team for the majority of the aero development work. I think that's been really strong. Actually, the guys have done a great job. I'm sure many teams have done a similar job because it's very, very close competition, of course. But I think in particular, that's been a real highlight for me. And it was nice to be able to influence a little bit on that and also set some really tough targets as well for the team. And the team have responded brilliantly.
Obviously, you have seen the progress in the simulations. You had seen the progress in the wind tunnel, but there's nothing like track time in the stopwatch to tell you exactly where you are. As the track results matched what was the simulation, the expectations of the team, and which areas of the car do you think you have to prioritize in terms of development in the early part of the season?
So there's two types of expectation, I guess. One is your pace, which honestly in this test I don't think anyone's really got any idea where they are. We've been pretty conservative in our approach. We've just been ticking the boxes as we've gone. We had a long test list. We needed to make sure that we work through that to be able to sort of maximize our performance and potential going into the season next weekend. So really, you know, we haven't gone for big numbers with our lap times particularly. We've just done the hard work that's behind getting well prepared. Others have done something similar. Others maybe have been a bit more racy. Others have been concentrating on race performance. So I think in terms of the pecking order, although Red Bull looks strong and, you know, that sort of thing you'd expect, for the rest of us, I think it's quite difficult to tell at the moment. It'll be really, really interesting to see where things go next weekend in the first race. In terms of the priorities on, let's say in terms of expectations on the way the car's behaved, it's actually been pretty close to what we hoped for, which has been really positive. The simulator work seems to have been really accurate. So we're happy with that. There's always, of course, tuning that into the reality of a real track with real tyres and all the ambient conditions you have, but no big surprises. But there's for sure development work to still do. I think, you know, we've got to balance the car a little bit more between corner speeds. We've got a bit more work to do on through corner balances as well, which is aerodynamic as well as mechanical. I think there's some mechanical grip work to do at the rear axle. And so on. So I think normal headlines, I suppose, at this time of year when you're beginning to learn a car or where you'd like to address things, no big hitters or big surprises, but sort of logical steps. And already we're talking about what they should be in the coming races.
One final thing. Yesterday, talking to us, Valtteri targeted that the team should be at the level it was at the beginning of 2022, which was a pretty positive start. Is he being a bit optimistic, a bit too demanding, or do you think that's feasible in terms of results?
I don't think he's being too demanding at all. I think he's saying absolutely the right thing, and that's exactly what the way we need to be thinking as well. I said this to the team. You know, there's no reason why we can't fight well above the P9 we were last year. We're not ready to tack at the front, of course, yet, but I think in terms of that very, very tight midfield, you know, that we saw last year, there's every opportunity there, you know, but there's an opportunity for every team. So you've got to out-develop everyone if you can, but there's every opportunity for us. So there's no harm in ambition, you know, no harm in ambitious targets. So I can't see why we shouldn't intend to be at that sort of level. So I don't think it's being too ambitious at all. And like I say, we'll find out next week exactly where we are.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you for your time. E tivemos assim as impressões de James Key, o diretor técnico da Steak Sauber, corroborar o optimismo de Valtteri Bottas, que quer voltar ao nível que a equipa teve no início de 2022, a dizer também que há muito trabalho para frente, a dizer que reencontrou em Inville muita da estrutura que ainda deixou quando saiu há 12 anos, mas que também que a equipa evoluiu bastante e que está bastante impressionado com o trabalho que já encontrou quando chegou em setembro do ano passado e este carro já estava francamente desenvolvido, apesar de ter sido ainda possível aqui e aos seus colaboradores fazerem algumas alterações para melhorar sobretudo o pacote aerodinâmico deste C44.